Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Laurie Beth Jones Blog Talk Radio Show. Today we have as our guest Reverend Tisa Roberts, and she is an ordained UCC minister, a horticultural therapist, a church planter, a speaker, a writer, an activist, a liturgical gardener, a teacher, and a mom of three. She serves as a specialized minister of peace and justice outreach and is the founder of Sage Community Spirit and Garden Encounters in Boulder, Colorado. And Tisa's ministry is all about recognizing, cultivating, and enlivening sacred communion between people, creation, and creator. You can reach her at spiritandgarden.net. Her ministry creates new paths that move people toward a meaningful, fun, and transformative expression of faith in action. Tisa, if people don't want to know you after that, they don't want to know anybody, you know? A horticultural therapist. That's just amazing. So Tisa and I have had the pleasure and privilege of working together in some coaching calls. And then when I spoke recently in Atlanta, Tisa was there as we talked about church planting and church enlivening, and especially using the elements as a tool to help bring that about. Now, in the pre-show, Tisa, you were sharing with me about how you were using the PEP with one of your congregants, I guess, and can you share a little bit about what happened?
Well, actually, what happened is, at first, I was a bit skeptical about this whole assessment with 16 questions and that kind of thing, but as we worked together leading up to the conference in Atlanta, I started recognizing just how fun it was and how there were so many different layers to it and that kind of thing. And so when I returned back to Boulder, Colorado, as I started putting my church planting team together, I decided that it might be a fun way of having sort of everybody get involved and speak the same language. And so that's really who I've been working with over these last couple of months. So I've had the members of the team take the assessment, and it's been really fun just sort of watching people's faces light up and sort of watching them start moving, start doing, and really stepping into the fullness of who they're called to be. It's been really fun.
Now, you mentioned one of the people is a fusion, and how he, can you explain what happened when he began to get how he was divinely created?
I think that he was a bit reluctant. He actually didn't take the test until last week. And each week that I would contact him, there was some other reason where, you know, had a lot of things going on. And I think when we finally sat down and in our meeting talked about it, and I said, he mentioned his scores, and I said, oh, sounds like you're a fusion. And his whole face lit up. And I think that it was great to just watch that. And he was looking through everything, and he was like, oh, I can't wait to look at this, because this does make sense. And he started recognizing one of the things that we talked a little bit about was the group that had been doing the teleconferences before the Atlanta event, and I mentioned that there was someone who was also a fusion in that group, and some of the challenges and blessings of having that be sort of the essence of who, you know, he was. And when I shared those, this gentleman really resonated with that. And anyway, it's been just a great tool.
Well, tell us more about Sage and what you're doing. And I noticed that in one of the questions is, we had talked in the breakout in Atlanta about how to use the elements as a project movement. You know, we call it the Genesis Generator, and I noticed that was one of your discussions. So tell us first about Sage and what you're doing.
Well, Sage really came about for me. I was, while I was in seminary at ILF, I was at the same time also getting my credential for horticultural therapy. And I started really recognizing that there were so many overlaps between ministry and engaging creation, which is really what horticultural therapy is. And so I started to think about how it might be possible to engage what I call the practical metaphor of the garden. So it's the practical part, if you will, just envision the soil, sort of getting your hands dirty, moving your body, that kind of thing. And then the metaphor part being the story of the garden, which is, you know, it's everywhere in the sacred texts across culture. It's in our literature. It's in all different, in poetry and music and all these different places. And I started to recognize how I was able to talk about matters of spirit, matters of justice, matters of sort of personal relationships, connectedness, using garden language and using creation language across the board with all different kinds of people, regardless of their tradition or where they were. And so Sage is all about doing that with people right on the ground. So, for example, we work in gardens that are tended by the homeless and working poor. We work in, I just last week actually offered a labyrinth walk, which is on a church ground, and it's actually a memorial labyrinth garden, and so the fall equinox, we invited people to come in to this sacred space and to honor community, to honor the transition of the seasons. It's really about inviting people to leave the building and to come together in community and see what emerges.
Now, you've intrigued me about how to use justice and how to integrate justice with garden language. Can you give me an example of that?
Well, I think one of the parts that's often overlooked is the fact that when you look at the sacred scriptures, for example, there are three that come to mind. The first is the story of the gleaning in the garden. The second that comes to mind is, this sounds kind of dull, but it's actually one of the most exciting parts of one of the series of classes that I teach, mm-hmm. which is called the practical the practical gardens of Deuteronomy. And if you look at the descriptions of the gardens in the book of Deuteronomy, they are very detailed and very prescriptive. If you spend some time actually in conversation looking at what is in there, it's all in there. There is the space allowed for gleaning. There is the offering of the first fruits to God. There is the honoring of the land by including a Sabbath, you know, space in there. There is honoring the workers, the laborers, allowing for the rhythm and space and the slow work of God. And what I'll do in that particular class is actually pull out some texts. And then I also will pull out some of our more contemporary kind of agricultural manuals and ask people to imagine what each one of those texts tells us about the people. So what you'll find now is that some of the manuals that we have regarding agriculture, for example, really is about taking from the earth, maximizing the earth, maximizing our use of people, the exploitation that happens of workers, not recognizing the sacred work of workers' hands. We often are so disconnected from the people who pick and, you know, who harvest our food. And yet, when you look at the sacred texts, that issue of justice, it's everywhere.
Hmm. Well, you're so passionate, and you speak so beautifully about all of this. And let's have a discussion about PEP and how we can work with that. So share some of your thoughts and questions. I think how does one facilitate a movement into the next quadrant, say wind to water, earth, when there is a disproportionate presence of one element? Is there a way of doing this, even temporarily, without an individual in that group that has the inherent element? So one of the things we talked about in Atlanta was, if you are a wind, for example, and you take a piece of paper and you put the four quadrants of earth, water, wind, and fire. And if you're a wind, you're going to likely spend a lot of time in that quadrant, talking about things, hanging out with people, being engaging, making sure you're getting attention and, you know, keeping things lively. But if you don't move into the next quadrant, you know, whichever way you go. So typically the hardest movement would be for a wind to move to an earth, because those are opposite elements. If you have a team that is mostly, and I guess you're thinking of your team, so can you share maybe what you've got a lot of?
We have, I would say, a lot of wind. My primary element is the fire with wind supporting. Then we have one person who is wind with actually equal water, and earth is a little bit less, and then the fusion. And so, just as you said, it's our intention right now is really to move into that earth space, getting grounded.
And that is, you know, you can't build on air. And so that's what we talk about in the thing, is in the discussion around the Genesis generator, and that you need to move. So people have moderate, you know, we all have some earth in us, even though it may not be our highest. But the way to get people to engage their opposite element is to take their core value and show them the link between this activity and getting them to their core value. So for example, if you have a wind and that it needs grounding, you can say, you know what, we need to build you a platform or a stage. We need to expand your stage, expand your arena. And so it's going to be a little uncomfortable for the next few months while we do this. But once it's finished, well, you're going to be free to fly. So, and the same thing with the waters. The waters are very relational, and they want things, they love the status quo. They want things to be calm, and you might need fire. And you can say, you know, certainly you want pure and living water. If we stay where we are, we're going to turn into a stagnant, toxic pond, you know. So we need to get some movement, dig some new channels, move quickly towards this so we can keep the water pure and flowing. You see? So you really need to study the elements, get their core value, and then begin to communicate the change that is needed in ways that are going to touch their hearts, not just their minds. So
when you say core value, can you say more about that? Like, is that specific to the elements or specific to the person?
Yes. So the earth values accuracy and structure. That's a core value for the earths. The winds value attention and expression. The fires value authority and control. And the waters value harmony and stillness or reflection.
Okay.
So if you understand those, you can get your team to begin to move in those directions as long as you communicate with their core value in mind. So Tisa, you are just an amazing woman, an amazing human being. And again, listeners, I would ask you to connect with her at spiritandgarden.net. Reverend Tisa Roberts, it has been a joy, and blessings to you in your garden, Tisa.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to have spent some time with you this morning.
All right. Go and prosper.
Thank you. You do the same.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.